Srila Prabhupada is ecstatic in this purport. When he begins to describe that the Absolute Truth is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he keeps on repeating it. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is the only way. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is performing his pastimes, but whose energies are all pervading and are everywhere, pervading throughout the sky. That's Supreme Personality of Godhead. Parashakti vividaiva suyate. Everywhere is his energy. But yet, all this energy carries something of his character. And therefore it is not hostile. And therefore it is not cold. And therefore there is no fear required. It is said that the entire universe is operating on fear. The wind blows out of fear. The oceans are operating out of fear. Yat bhayam, yat bhavo, yat. It is, everything is operating by fear. We also. But those who understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead become abhayam. Abhayam sattva samsutiyat. Those who know the truth, the pure truth of, they are abhayam. They're fearless. They understand that actually what may appear fearsome, great storms, terrible storms that like with force of 300 kilometers an hour coming, ripping houses to pieces, which crash on people, which wrap cars around trees, and so many things. Terrible powers unleashed. Fearsome. Imagine that would happen on the Cape. How much would go underwater if tidal waves come in of like up to like 14 feet? What will happen? In 1953 in the Netherlands, there was also something like that, a powerful southwestern storm. Southwest means Atlantic, coming in straight, blasting in from the Atlantic. And it was a spring tide, where the tide is extremely high, and that combined with the storm, and 2 million people got flooded under 7 meters of water. So that's a lot of water. So the powers of nature, the universe, is fearsome, unless we can embrace all that and appreciate. He is the Supreme Lord. The well-known story of Srila Prabhupada in Calcutta and during the war, and somehow or other a bomb alarm went off and everyone was running for bomb shelters, but Prabhupada's wife had just cooked kachoris and they were hot and they were like, and she was trained and she knew how to do it just right, and they were just right, and it was prasadam. It was offered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. How could one not honor that prasadam? That would be an offense. So Prabhupada just sat down, honored the prasadam. But then the bones came down and just he saw all those bones, and Prabhupada said, that is also Krishna. But that is not the lovable form of Krishna. So, in the same way, devotees would sometimes speak about the nuclear bomb. And in the 60s, there was a lot of fear that the bomb might drop. And now it's sort of coming back. But the bomb might drop. And then they'd ask Prabhupada, but what if the bomb will drop? And Prabhupada said, if the bomb drops, Then I would say, here comes Krishna in the form of a bomb to kill me. So just, what a vision.
Even there, he could see the bomb without fear. He could even see the bomb with love,
because he could see that, yes, if Krishna comes to kill me, then that's not a problem. I'll simply continue my relationship with Krishna after that. So there is no difficulty at all. In this way, we can see how Prabhupada simply had no fear, no anxiety, just no anxiety about anything. And that's what we see. Just simply accept Krishna's will, accept Krishna's arrangement. When there's a person, everything changes. When there's energies, what can we do? The wind, what are we going to do about it? The weather, it's climate change, what are we doing? What can we do to stop this? Energies, how can we deal with these energies? How can we control them? The ice is melting, what can you do about it? The low-lying regions will start going under. I was born in one such place. We're watching the dikes. Yes. So, what to do? But if we see Krishna, then everything is fine. Because everything is just right. Because everything is just designed. Designed by Krishna. Exactly right. So what is wrong? Everything is perfectly designed by Krishna for us. Yes. Exactly like that. Krishna, Krishna. Krishna, Krishna. Yeah. That's the conch shell used for Krishna. Yes. It's the Arctic. Krishna. So, this is so simple. Mata paratram nam yat kinjit asti dananjaya mai sarvam idam brutam sutramani kraiva. So we see all the pearls. The pearls look very opulent. The pearls look very nice. Pearls, pearls, pearls. But all the pearls are connected to a thread. But we don't see the thread. You see the pearls. You don't see the thread. But the pearls, but the thread is there, connecting everything. So you see all the, we see all the things. We don't see God, but He's connecting everything. The pearls we see, not the string, but the string connects everything. So one who understands the Supreme Lord will see the string and connect everything with Krishna, and this is truly our outlook. This is Prabhupada's outlook. So in this way, Prabhupada was in this material world. And oh yes, he wasn't just waiting and just saying, well, may Krishna, whatever Krishna desires will happen. No, he was trying to make it happen. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, his spiritual master, had told him to preach in the Western world. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he had predicted that a very large temple would be constructed in Srila Mayapur. And Prabhupada said, so the prediction is there, now let's fulfill it. It wasn't, now let's wait till it comes true, you know. It must come true because there's a prediction. So we don't have to do anything because there's a prediction, you see. But Prabhupada didn't think like that. There's a prediction, so now we'll just wait here. And one day there will be a big temple. Because predicted by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, what such a personality predicts must come true. No. Prabhupada rather said, he predicted. Now, let me make it come true.
That's
very interesting. Very interesting. Our Prabhupada, in this way, was
seeing how everything was controlled by the Supreme Lord, and yet he was making so many arrangements, battling like anything with the material energy, trying to somehow or other get it just in the shape he wanted it, and he would not back down. And that's hard. So this is the amazing, almost a contradiction. But that is also personalism. Not only is Krishna a person, but we are also persons. And we are also a part in Krishna's creation. Everything is personal. The wind is not just blowing on its own. The demigods are controlling. The Vayu is controlling. Simply controlling. So everywhere there are personalities, and they are acting on behalf of the Supreme Lord in the higher regions of the universe, and they're against the will of the Lord in the lower regions of the universe. We get a chance. We're in the middle. We can do either. We can work for the Supreme Lord, or we can work against. It's up to us. When we work for, then everything should be fine. But not always. Remember, there was that earthquake in New Zealand. There was an earthquake in New Zealand, and the deities were made of marble. And the devotee, or the pujari, he jumped on the altar, and he held the deities, and he saved them from smashing. And he had them both like this. And then there was another tremor, and it threw him and the deities off the altar, and the deities broke. No, but how can this happen? How can this happen? But how can we understand? How can we understand the plan of the Lord? How can we oversee what's going on? What looks good and bad from our point of view, it may have a different purpose. Who knows what's going to happen then? So, ultimately, in the greater plan, everything looks different. Like the pawn on the chessboard, what can the pawn see? A few squares around, but the pawn can never see the whole board. It's not possible. Only the player sees the whole chessboard, not the pawn. The pawn sees a few pieces that are surrounded. Some pieces in the far distance. You cannot think yourself a pawn on the chessboard. What can you see? You cannot see. It's like sitting in this room. You can't oversee the whole room. You can only see part of it. So in this way, Krishna can actually see. Krishna can actually understand the entire. He can see so many moves ahead that we cannot. He can see all the pieces. So this acceptance is an element. But then trying to do something for Krishna, and in that, and then battling in ways that we would have never battled. For ourselves, we would have built a house. But for Krishna, it has to be a palace. For ourselves, a house, a cottage will do. Personally, I think cottages are great, nice, warm and cozy in the winter, nice, comfy. What's wrong with a cottage? Cottage cheese, everything cottage. Sounds good. Cottage. But no, for Krishna, it's a palace, So many things, marble on the floors, thrones, big arrangements, right? Headaches. God, not big, I know all about it. So I've been involved with that, working with artisans and who are like, never finished when they promise that it's finished, and always going to charge more, and you have to fight with them. Again, always going to give you bad quality. No, we're not accepting this. We're not paying. Lots of trouble, struggle with the material energy. So So Prabhupada struggled so much with the material energy, it was inconceivable. Inconceivable what he did. Everywhere and anywhere, in all directions, just pushing so hard. How can anyone just push so hard and not relax sometimes? Think of it, like starting all the temples in India and fighting, and at the same time traveling around the world and preaching. I mean, and it was a big fight in India, trying to take the land back, and Prabhupada would be there, fight a little, and then quickly go around and preach. And as he's preaching, he's starting new temples and everywhere, right? Encouraging people, big Ratiyachas, starting so many things, installing deities everywhere, and then he comes back and fights again in Bombay to save the land. And his disciples couldn't do it. They were about to lose it. They were about to sign it over, and then Prabhupada came in. They had actually already signed. They signed for a settlement. They signed. Prabhupada got it undone. He came back and he said, "What? Now everything is finished. You signed?" Well, no, I mean, okay. And Prabhupada just made an arrangement. So Mr. Nair, who was the person fighting Prabhupada, he thought that Prabhupada had some mystic power. Therefore he brought his guru, a sadhu, to protect him. Because if Prabhupada's mystic power would work, it might work on Mr. Nair, but it would definitely not work on the guru, because he was also very powerful. So he brought his guru. But anyway, then there was a lunch, and they all had lunch. And then after the lunch, during the lunch, the guru was saying, asking Prabhupada if he was tired. And Prabhupada said, "When someone asks you if you're tired, that means they are tired." So after about 15 minutes after the lunch, Prabhupada said, "Okay, now call Nair. I'm sure they are sleeping. Let the guru sleep and just bring Nair." And then he had him alone, and then somehow or other he managed to undo the whole thing. And all this in the middle of a big preaching tour around the world. So personalism means we're not only accepting the Supreme Personality of Godhead as a person, but we also take our place as persons. Then we also do something. She can have the flowers. Take non-flowers.
Okay. Here. No, look. Good.
Not for eating. So, in this way, we must use what we have. That's the idea. We must use all the power we have. That's what we see in Prabhupada. He used everything he had. He gave everything. And that's Krishna consciousness. That's actually accepting the Supreme Lord as a person and accepting ourselves as a person. One more. Natrivaham jatulasam natam devi janani pani sarvivayamatamparam. Never was there a time when I did not exist, nor you, nor all these kings. So Krishna is eternally a person, and we are also eternally persons. And therefore, when we develop our relationship with the Supreme Lord, then we have to grow. Because in the world, no one is
It's rare that someone is going to really push himself to his limits. Only a few people are very ambitious, and most people are lazy. And most people will not, you know, go to the limits. Yes, do something and then rest the long weekend and early vacations and take some sick leave and cut some corners, and, you know, somehow or other. Take it easy. But who is going to voluntarily make it difficult for himself? Find a niche somewhere, something comfy, not too much stress, but comfy. No, that's not what we're meant to be. We're meant to do really something substantial for Prabhupada, whatever it is, according to our ability. Something substantial for Krishna. So that is what I draw out of this verse about emphasizing the Supreme Personality of Godhead and then seeing ourselves as the subservient personality of servant. That's what it means, because the mission of Krishna is very, very great. Every living being has to somehow or other make spiritual advancement. So there's a lot to do. Everyone, big or small. So any questions? Any comments?
Thank you very much for the inspiration. Well, you said last that we should push ourselves a little, and say a little bit different, but
to the limit.
Yeah.
And beyond.
How to overcome this laziness? I mean, we always have so many reasons to be lazy and not do it. How we can overcome that?
Ask your father-in-law to give you. Give you a push in your head.
He got my permission.
He gets lazy, you know.
He's not always there.
I'll tell you what. With the help of some friends, I guess. Yeah, it's difficult.
How did you do
it? I'm lazy. Yeah. Always make excuses whenever I have to work. I'm grumbling. Like, anyway, it's a matter of desire. It's a matter of whatever. When we desire something very much, then we're not lazy. Then suddenly we can do all kinds of things when we desire something. So it's a matter of desire, awakening desire to serve Krishna. By serving, by hearing, chanting, then we develop a desire. Other questions?
Thank you, Maharaj. Using the Prabhupada example with the temple in Vrindavan, how does one differentiate
Bombay? Was it Bombay or was it Vrindavan?
My story was born then.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So, using that example, how does one differentiate between waiting on Krishna and acting as an empowered being by Krishna to do something?
We're never turning to Krishna directly. We're always serving the servant of Krishna. So in that way, we're sure. It's our spiritual master, the via media to Krishna, or the Siksha Gurus, the via media to Krishna, who will just tell us. So therefore, if in doubt, we get it confirmed by Guru Sadhu and Shastra. Then we alone we'll never figure it out. More questions.
You said what I want to ask, is it really possible to face fear without fear? You mentioned it's something I never thought of, but is it really possible?
Yeah, it's really possible. That's why Srila Prabhupada is called Abhaya Charanaravinda, fearless one. Is fearless. Abhay was his name. And he was fearless. One can be fearless if we have that trust in God. But really deep trust. That we should completely see that whatever is coming from him. If I'm destined to die, it's only my body that will die. I will not die. I will continue. I have never acted against his will. What if one knows I have not acted against his will? Maybe in the past, but from the point where one says, now I'm yours. Then only acted according to his will. Then one is faultless. Then why is there fear? Then when we have to die, then there's no fear. But when we have acted against the will of God, that's where then there will be fear when death approaches. Which is the ultimate fear. Many things are fearsome, but it's ultimately death that makes it fearsome. Whether it's the storm, or whether it's a hijacker, or whether it's a disease, whatever it is. So, the more we turn to God, the more we turn to God, the more we become fearless. It's not like that. But I guess, I got that disease, right? I was thinking about it, I was thinking, I tried to be a good person. I made some mistakes. I mean, plenty. I make mistakes every day. But not intentionally. So I said, that will be excused. So I don't have to. I have nothing to fear. Yeah, so I take it that at the end of life, this is what someone should do. Retirement is not for playing chess or just... No, retirement is a very serious time, because it's the time to prepare. See, now we are preparing towards the end, whether it's 20 years or what, or 2 years, we're both similar age and similar history, this, that. Then you think, you don't know. Yeah. 2 years, 20 years, but so now's the time to say, okay, let me get ready to meet the Lord. Let me be okay. Everything sinful must go. Because this morning we were reading a text and there was an explanation that said people follow the laws of the state, but they don't follow the laws of God. No. So, you know, like, and then it explained, everyone, whether they know it or not, are bound by the laws of God. You can't get around that. No one can escape. From the laws of the state you can hide, but from the laws of God there's no hiding. So, anyone who's not following the law of God, yeah, there's guilt. Where there's guilt, there's fear. Thank you. Other questions? After such a serious question, we need something light. That's something, yeah. Light question.
I don't know if this is a light question, but you said that we should do something substantial for Krishna. So my question is more indirectly related. If you can only do something substantial for Krishna when you have the reserves inside of you to do something for Krishna. So my question is, how do you strike a balance between serving the servants of Krishna and also keeping enough space to not serve yourself, but to
survive,
to survive, not only survive,
nourish yourself.
Yeah, to nourish yourself. Where's that balance?
It's just like he's a child, and the child obviously cannot do what an adult can do as yet, you know, needs more protection. So when we are new on the spiritual path, then that balance means that we need a lot of material balance, material protection, we need to make. So therefore it said by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur that we begin, in the beginning in spiritual life, we need fine ashram. We need an engagement according to our propensity, our nature. We need to be situated somewhere materially where we're peaceful, comfortable and all that. And then over time, then we can make more sacrifice in these things. And just, you see, like Prabhupada himself, this is a life of complete sacrifice. Yeah? Total sacrifice. Yeah? In the Dhamma life, that's a life of sacrifice. Phew. He's just powering on it. Health issues or not, doesn't make any difference. I was getting tired. Yeah, we were on journey. So I was getting exhausted. In Berlin, Latvia. He was powering up. And then it was Woodstock. So we can see how, as a person, develops more desire to please Krishna, that it can just push much more and just do so many things. Yeah. One person then can do so many things. So it's just like that. So the balance will shift. What's the balance for a child? It's not the same balance as for an adult. So according to our level of advancement, the balance will be different. But in the beginning, it's very important. In the beginning can be many, many years. So it's very important that we keep a good supportive arrangement. And a good supportive arrangement, that we have a home that nourishes us. That we have association that is positive, that we
All these things one has to think of to find a nourishing situation, as much as the world allows. And where the world doesn't allow, trinadapisuvichena. We must be more tolerant than a tree. Then we are finished. Thank you very much. See you tomorrow.
Jai! Jai! Jai!